As I was saying before we were so rudely interrupted by New York City's finest.
What was you saying?
The motherfucker wasn't saying shit.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at what?
It's a goddamn shame.
What's a goddamn shame?
Sweet Dick Willie.
That's my name.
Damn, man, do I have to spell it out?
Come on, make it plain.
Okay, but listen up. I'm going to break it down.
Let it be broke, motherfucker.
Can you dig it?
It's dug.
Look at those Korean motherfuckers across the street. I bet you they haven't been off the boat a year before they open up their own place.
That's right, man. It's been about a year.
A motherfucking year off the motherfucking boat, and they already got a business in our neighborhood. A good business. Occupying a building that had been boarded up for longer than I care to remember. And I've been here a long time. And now, for the life of me, you know, I can't figure this out. Either them Korean motherfuckers are geniuses, or you black asses are just plain dumb.
Fuck you. It's got to be because we are black. Ain't no other explanation. No, I know, man. You know,
man,
ain't they always trying to keep the black man to be about shit? You know what I'm saying?
This is Damien, and that is Douglas. Is... And Douglas is drinking, so you can...
I have brought back the tradition.
You can expect even less of Douglas this week than you usually do.
Tomorrow's a weekend. I don't have to wake up. I don't have to do work.
I think that's true for everybody all over the world, though.
I'd be drinking, except the fact that I'm now using this headset means that they would hear, like, every gulp I make, and I don't want that to happen, so I don't drink anymore while I podcast, sadly.
Yeah, that's what he says while he sips his,
raw straw, no less.
Anyways, let's kick it off with what we've been watching. Douglas, what have you been watching this past week?
Douglas,
I've been watching quite a bit.
Douglas
actually
needs to confer with his phone to ensure that what his brain remembers is what he actually watched.
Oh, Damien, you silly, silly boy. I haven't watched much, actually.
I thought you started out with saying I watched quite a bit.
Yes, that is what his brain remembers, but his phone... makes the difference.
So, for those of you who listened to last week's podcast, you would have noticed that I recently found out that The Walking Dead came back.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I was watching The Walking Dead.
I will not watch anymore
until the end
done.
Of the season.
I watched to the season break, which was awesome. No, I'll wait. I cannot watch them one at a time. It's too painful.
Does it physically hurt, Damien?
Yes, waiting on episodes. It does hurt. All you want to do is watch the other episode. And you can't. Because it doesn't exist yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings a tear to my eye.
So sad.
So very
sad. I have also... been watching a new TV show. Actually, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird to call this a TV show, actually, because technically it's not on TV. It's actually a Netflix original. And according to Damien, it's been getting quite a bit of bad reviews. Well, I'm here to break the mold because I really like that show. It clearly plays on the fact that the lead actor was Silvio in the Sopranos. It's it's a show about this mobster who decides to rat out his boss and flee to Norway in this town called Lillehammer. Did I mention the name of the show was Lillehammer?
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. But that's the name of the show, and that's the name of the town that he goes to. And somehow, in this remote, bumfuck town, he finds a way to organize crime yet again. And it is... I really like the way that they're able to meld the mobster aspect of it with the straight-up comedy, because...
So it is a comedy.
It's... I don't want to say that it's necessarily a comedy. Probably people will tell you that this is a drama, but it's funny as hell to me sometimes.
Okay.
And
I thought it was one of those comedies that people don't laugh at in the same way.
So basically what you're saying, Douglas, is this is the 8-episode version of My Blue Haven.
Oh, sorry, say that one more time.
This is the 8-episode version of My Blue Haven.
As in Steve Martin?
The Steve Martin movie, yeah.
Oh. Not quite. It's a little bit better because there are no friends that have died. It's just him. Nobody else is, you know, has fleed and gone there. It's him, and he's having to work with inept and chronically good people who he must then turn bad. And I don't know, there's just something about it works for me.
Good.
Yeah.
Could be fun.
So
I see it. I definitely see the humor, no?
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of humor in this show. But, you know, maybe I'm just a crazy person. And I know that I am. I know that there's a lot that I like that I shouldn't.
I agree.
So I'm just laying it out on the table. I like that show. Damian mentioned another TV show last week that I, of course, had to start watching. And that show is Inside Men. I am now up to episode 3 with 4 ready and rearing to go. I watched the first episode and wasn't 100% hooked. And I guess that kind of makes sense, especially seeing from the ratings on IMDb, you've got episode 1 at like a 7 and episode 2 at like a 10. And so by the end of episode 2, I kind of realized that I had to keep going.
Right, this theme is scratching you.
Yes, the
first
show is
freedom.
Yeah. This show is great. It's, as Damian said, it's a show about these guys trying to plan a robbery of a place that they work at. And everything seems to be going right. And up to where I am, everything is going right. But you see, you know, they have the next episode scenes. It looks like maybe certain things are going to go wrong now. So it's, to tell you the truth, it's not really a new story. I think it definitely is taking a little bit of a different approach to the thing, which is always good. But it really just is entertaining and great to watch, and the cast is really good because, as Damon said, you've got 2 people from Luther. You've got Luther's old sidekick and Luther's new sidekick, as well as, did you notice that his
the
new
wife.
Sidekick wife is
from
the take?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they got great actors.
Yeah, they did. The cast seems great. And the relationships, they're really set up the relationships well, and it looks like they're really going to milk them for what they're worth. So I hope to be able to, you know, watch the rest of that. Hopefully I don't die before that finishes. Knowing them, seeing as it's a British show, I don't think I will.
Yeah.
So
I think there's only 6 episodes.
Yeah, probably.
So
Yeah. The last thing that I'm going to talk about is actually still a British show, still in that realm. Thanks to Netflix, I got to try and watch a lot of old British shows that maybe I wouldn't have seen before. This one is called Gavin and Stacey. and it's a comedy about Gavin and Stacey who meet, or technically they don't meet. I guess they have to talk on the phone a lot for work, and after a while they kind of realize, I'm friendly with this person, I like this person, why don't I meet them? And they live in like two separate places. I think one Gavin lives in like London, and I think she lives in Wales. And so it's a big deal for them to get together. And they do, and they hit it off, and you know, a couple of days later they're ready to get married. And so they've got interesting family backgrounds and interesting clashes when families come together. And did I mention this is a comedy? I probably didn't need to, but it's pretty decent. I really, really enjoyed this one. And I'd recommend it to any of you guys. But that's it for me.
Okay. I guess I'll go next. My list this week is also very short. I saw Jedgo. I think that's the name of the movie. Jedgo. Leonardo DiCaprio plays Jedgo.
Jedgo?
I don't know. I'm terrible at English. The movie's okay. It's like every other biopic that we've seen. If you know anything about J. Edgar's history, then they take a slice of his life and Leo acts it out. My problem with this movie is that I kept seeing Leonardo DiCaprio acting instead of seeing J. Edgar. I'm not intimately familiar with American history, so they could be lying to me for the entire time and I wouldn't know the difference. But it was okay, I think is the best way to say it. His performance was good, but it's not, I don't think there's anything special there. I loved him in The Aviator. That was really good.
That movie was fantastic.
But this movie, I don't know. There's something that didn't grab me about it. And so, if you love Leonardo DiCaprio, you should give it a watch.
You just call him Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, that was a mistake. If you enjoy biopics about American presidents, racist or not, then yeah, you can give this a try as well.
Leonardo de Poofface.
Ah, hilarious. Now to movies that I will heartily recommend to anybody and hope everyone gets a chance to watch. Tuck and Dale vs. Evil is a terrific movie. It is so good. Oh my god, it's so good. Yes, it is so good.
I have watched the funny first half hour and that shit is not bad.
Everything that the trailer promised, it delivers on, and so much more. It's a new trick or treat. It's that good. Oh my god.
I blame myself for not liking that movie. Cause
you are a crazy person.
Cause you are right. It is everything it promises to be. But the problem with that is that since I already knew exactly what the movie was, which is a play on the horror camping in the woods genre, and exactly how the twist was coming, I knew where all the gags were going before they happened, and it just bored me. I was like, Damon, you've listened to a lot of... Douglas?
Wait.
You should see Douglas' face.
I'm not quite understanding. Please walk me through this. So, you watch the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer promised you something.
Yes.
You understood what the trailer promised you?
I think I did.
Okay, based on that promise, were you excited? Did you think that if you received what was promised, that you would like it?
Undetermined.
No. There was a yes there before.
Oh.
So I'm just going to take that as the answer that you should have given, which was yes. So. The trailer promised you something. You knew that if you received that promise, that you would like it. Did you receive that promise?
Yes.
Did it give what it promised you?
Yes.
What the fuck is your problem?
Are you trying to decipher andrologic? We've been doing this for years. I have been trying to decipher andrologic for years, and I have failed miserably. In fact, I go to my bed weeping some nights because my brain is trying to process something it should not ever try to process.
Like, honestly, like, as I was watching the movie, like, and Damon, you've listened to a lot of podcasts where comedians are talking about other comedians yes. commenting on comedy, and I've heard them say this, yeah. where a lot of comedians, when they hear a joke, they won't laugh. They'll just go, you know, I saw where you were going with that. That was good. I like that. And that's how I felt I was going with the movie. I didn't not like it, but at the same time, it didn't exactly make... I didn't find myself enjoying it the way that I know that I enjoy, like, certain comedies like that. And I felt slightly disappointed that way.
So I'm just going to hold tight to the fact that you are a crazy person.
Okay.
And move on.
quick question. Have you listened to John Hawk's CD yet? Or does that still not exist?
It still doesn't exist in my mind right now.
I wish John Hawk would put out an audio album. I wish he would.
You know, so it would be great too if he actually did so in, like, if he was actually in a band.
Like some other people.
Yeah.
But these are wishful thinking.
right.
Actually, on a side note, I was disappointed to find out after the fact that the song that he plays in Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene isn't his song. It was from way back. I didn't know that.
It was from what?
I don't know. From way back when. I don't know who did the original. But it wasn't his original or anything like that. I was slightly disappointed in that.
It's good. Andrew, stop that internet. right. So last year, my number two pick of the year was a small film that you guys both hated. In fact, you hated my number two and three picks for last year.
What was number three again?
Another Earth.
Oh, God.
I'm drunk.
I'll let Douglas do the response for me.
I have to move those two picks up one because I saw Take Shelter. And guys, you both will probably hear this movie as you did Melancholia and Another Earth.
You think so, really?
I really do, because
that movie looks awesome.
It does look awesome, and it is terrific. Now, I've read and heard people say mean things about this movie, and it has done nothing but bring a smile to my face, because I love everything about this movie. This movie is perfect. Another perfect movie from last year. And the fact that, I keep forgetting the lead name.
Michael Shannon.
Yes, Michael Shannon has not been nominated for anything is unforgivable. The Oscars should collectively shoot themselves and cancel the Oscars. Because if that is not the best performance by a male this year, then something is exceedingly wrong. The movie.
What about Ryan Gosling?
Nope, not even close. The movie. So Michael Shannon is having these visions of a storm, and has decided to make some renovations to his storm shelter. And the movie surrounds how his family deals with this situation and how he himself deals with the situation. Now there are some key things about him that I cannot spoil. I do not dare spoil. Because it makes the movie what it is. The ending has a lot of film critics either very happy or exceedingly angry. Which is a sign of a very good movie.
Which is why I wanted you guys to watch it before I talk to you about it.
I absolutely love the ending. And my interpretation of the movie seems to be different from a lot of other people's. I have to wait until Douglas, who will watch the movie this week.
As it's your pick.
We'll wait on the threat. It is a threat. So that we can spoil the movie for next week. Whether Douglas watches it or not.
So you're giving him an ultimatum. Okay.
Either you watch the movie and enjoy it, or we're going to spoil it for you. You'll still enjoy it, but it won't be as awesome. Or as infuriating, depending on how you look at it. So, Andrew, you love this movie, correct?
No? I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it.
I don't want to hear anything more from you.
That's what you told me last week, too.
The movie is great. It is definitely my number two pick for last year. It is so good.
Your number two pick?
Yes, for last year.
So that's number one.
Senna. Senna was always number one. Last year.
Number two?
Yes, this is my number.
It beat Lars.
What the hell are you talking about?
Lars.
What is
Melancholy.
Yes. I said my number two.
I know, but I had to ask again to make sure because yes.
When you said Lars, I kept thinking Lars and the real girl.
Yeah.
No, this movie has rooted itself into the number two position. Melancholia and Another Earth sadly has to be bumped down to 3 and 4. I don't see any other movies that I haven't seen for last year that would or is likely to change anything on my list for last year. War Horse has no shot. I don't want to talk about that movie because Andrew loves it and Douglas hasn't seen it and I need backup if I'm going to talk about this movie.
Don't worry. That movie's on my list, so hopefully in the next couple of weeks you'll have some backup.
I have seen it, let's just say. Andrew.
Look, Damien, for the Damien, first time. I never expected you to like that.
Yeah, wait, hold on. We need to show some reverence.
I kind of feel, usually that makes me happy, but now it makes me sad because I'm not drinking.
That was a little warm, though. Probably should not have waited an hour to start the podcast. That was not a good thing for the bear.
So yeah, Damien, I never expected you to like that movie.
Yes, but you expected me to be somewhat middling on the movie. That is not the position that I'm in. I feel about War Horse how I feel about the movie we're going to review tonight.
Oh, this is going to be a rough episode.
Yes, that's pretty much it. Jedga is pretty good. Nothing special. And the other two movies are superb and everyone should watch them. So Andrew, what have you seen?
This week, my list is short and I've watched, like you, Damien, one movie, a biopic, which isn't much to talk about, and two other films which I feel are very special in their own way. So I'll start off with the biopic, and it is the one called The Iron Lady with Miss Meryl Streep. And
that one?
The movie isn't that great, and the problem I have with it is that it's about...
I haven't seen it.
The problem I have with it is that while it's about... Margaret Thatcher and her time as Prime Minister, it really isn't about that. It's about her grieving over her dead husband and being crazy as an old lady. And while she's doing that, you're having intermittent scenes of her as Prime Minister. And the movie just doesn't know where it's going half the time. And it's really... You just never know. It's a waste, honestly.
What I've heard about that movie, so everybody's like, oh, Meryl Streep is terrific. Meryl Streep is terrific. Can
generally
move on to something else.
Generally that's what is said about all our movies lately and nothing else.
She is terrific.
She is. She's always terrific. But generally, no, she's never really in anything.
No, I love Meryl Streep, and I'll definitely watch this movie because she's in it. But I think the reason I haven't watched this movie yet is because I'm waiting for My Week with Meryl.
Marilyn.
Marilyn.
But that's you can't watch.
Right, so I want to watch both of them too.
What's the connection?
Because Meryl Streep is eventually going to die. And Michelle Williams is the new Meryl Streep. So I want to see actual Meryl Streep versus the person that will eventually replace her. Michelle Williams can do anything. We've seen her.
She's fantastic.
Act her way out. She did a move, an hour and a half running after a dog.
I haven't watched that one
yet. And that move is terrific. Because of her, she's really good at acting. I have not seen her fail in an acting role yet. It seems that her talent and her scope of acting is...
You know who else hasn't failed in an acting role yet? Zooey Deschanel.
That's not funny.
So the next movie I watch, is called Margin Call. The movie.
Oh, you watch that? I kind of want to watch that.
And while the movie packs as little facts as possible about what really happened, it's a really good movie. It's a really fantastic.
Be fast or cheat.
That scene where Jeremy Irons appears, oh, it's so good. And that's why I love this movie. The writing in it is so fantastic. Every character, we have Kevin Spacey, Zachary Quinto, Jeremy Irons. Oh, who else is in there? There's
guy from Priest.
Yeah, Paul Bettany. And why are we the guy from Pierce? Doesn't he have better roles for us to talk about?
I was about to say, like, when
I know he's in better roles. Right? It's the first one. Every time I think of him, no, that is the image that flashes into my head.
I mean, even that hostage movie with Harrison Ford.
Look, guys, I'm not saying that it was his best movie. I'm saying that is what I see in my head, and you both knew exactly what I was
talking about. Exactly.
I had no clue who you were talking about. And then when Andrew said Paul Bettany, I was like, really? That's what you remember him from?
My brain is a terrible brain.
even if you had said the voice for the computer in Iron Man, then, you know?
We could say the guy from Legion.
Let me tell you what is happening now. Because I no longer need to keep track of people's names in my head, because I have a program that does it for me. I keep forgetting actors' names. It is getting worse. I can't help myself. Every time, instead of using my head, when somebody says, "Who is that again?" I just go, "Oh, right, he's in this movie." And then I bring up the cast. that's his name. I have three actors' names in my head right now. That's it.
Margin Call is terrific.
Jeremy Irons has so much gravitas, it is ridiculous. Oh, love him in that movie. So good.
That movie was on the news the other day. So I heard the one line where he's like, "So what you're saying is that we're stuck with the biggest piece of turd since whatever.
Even though, I must say, this movie has three moments, and I counted them, where it decided to do one of the things I loathe in movies, writing-wise. And it's due to the subject matter. In a lot of movies, whenever they have very specific subject matter, they'll always have the scene or the moment where someone with an education has to explain what's happening. And he'll start to explain it, and a character will interrupt him and stop him and say, "Look, pretend like I'm your dog walking around the room and you have to tell me how to do this. Go." And they do it around three times throughout the movie. I found it kind of annoying. But that aside, the rest of the movie is fantastic.
Is it crazy that once you started talking about what you were talking about a while ago, the first thing that entered my mind was, oh shit, it's left me.
To interrupt me?
this movie, with the comet, and they have to go up and drill.
Oh, Armageddon.
Armageddon. Yes. That's the first thing that came to my mind. And then I started to think, why is Andrew Dice in Armageddon? That movie's awesome. because you know they did that thing, and then
of course,
yeah, right. And then he was like, "Well, I wouldn't want to take advice from somebody who got a C minus in Astro, something like that." So good.
Anyway, you guys go and watch. Not you, Douglas. Cause Douglas doesn't watch it. Go and watch Project Cars. The movie's awesome.
So now to trailers. Speaking of bad, we have some trailers to talk about. The first trailer is Riot, the Redemption, or Red Dead Redemption, or something.
No, don't you dare mix this up with that game.
It's the Raid
Redemption. Don't you
Redemption.
Study the right. Memory.
Of my look, it's not a memory for me. I stab bears with a knife on a daily basis. Sure, I die 20 times before I get it done, but I do not do a mission until a bear is dead by my knife. So this trailer is, as Douglas said while we were watching the trailer, it's on back taken to its natural progression. they had a lot of martial artists and a lot of wires and stunt people, and they said, we need to make a movie where it is an hour and a half of non-stop action. Then they turned to a scriptwriter and said, come up with some ridiculous reason to get this done. We're going to continue shooting action scenes, and you find a way to tie all of this nonsense together. And that is essentially what this movie looks like. I'm not sure if that is what it is. Pretty sure that's what it is. But the trailer is 2 minutes, and in the 2 minutes, you learn that there is an elite squad. Check. There is a ruthless mob boss.
Check.
There is a building with floors. I've never seen that before. It's essentially Mortal Kombat 1.
What?
Where you ride up the levels until you fight Shao Kahn. it is a fighting game. It is a ridiculous. It's so contrived, it is unbelievable. They're not even pretending. They're like, look, every floor you go up is going to be more dangerous. And then when you get to him, if he transforms into a dragon, that's the only way I'll be happy. There's just no It's ridiculous.
Damien, you win. I think you've ruined this movie for me before I've even watched it.
God, it's just so cute. I love action films, but you guys are team pretending. I hate all the Ong Bak movies because they're terrible movies. I mean, action movies, simple. One of my favorite ones for the last couple of years is The Man from Nowhere, where there's a little girl he likes. They take away the little girl. And then he spends the rest of the movie kicking ass to get back to the little girl. It's simple. Alright, it's a simple, simple template that is easy to follow. It's not that hard. But you guys don't even try. Like, these elite fighters versus these elite fighters. And I'm about at the top of the tower. Fight!
Oh, you got it.
I would like to echo everything that this man has said.
It's so bad.
This trailer was just... I literally cannot find any words to add to what Damon has said. There really is nothing. This trailer is... I think they did exactly what they wanted to do with it. They showed you what you needed to see. But...
Do you like men fighting other men?
Yes.
This trailer is awesome. How dare you guys?
Andrew.
I hope that's
alright. Are you looking forward to G.I. Joe Retaliation as well? Is that
yes. What you're telling me?
Like, look. At Expendables 2.
No.
As long as there's people fighting other people, I am on board.
I don't need Chuck Norris.
You're getting him. No one cares what you think.
No, man, this movie, it looks kind of awesome, and it's for all of those reasons that you pretend to hate it.
Alright, so you remember a couple years ago, there was this terrible movie that came out called Chocolate. It was with a 14-year-old girl that ran around.
Yes, I remember that movie.
Did you ever sit down and watch that movie?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Was that movie good?
No, but the action was awesome.
Were any of the Ongbat movies good?
No.
What are those movies good for? They're good for a 20-minute clip on YouTube showing all the fight scenes.
Actually, I wouldn't even say that's Ongbat.
They just say, alright, look, 20 minutes of all. They just go from scene to scene to scene.
Oh, that's what you mean.
And you smile and you go, I guess that was alright. And then you move on. And that is what this movie will be. Now, I hope it's more like Punisher Warzone, where it's just ridiculous and over the top the entire time. But from the trailer, I can see that they failed to do that. I am not looking forward to this.
Wasn't there some big fight on that movie, the Punisher Warzone movie, that the director was
the director, she wanted to make a decent Punisher movie, and the people who were paying her wanted something else. And so she decided to make the most ridiculous movie that she could have. And that is what she did. And I enjoy Punisher Warzone. It makes no sense. But it is fun. So much fun to watch. It is campy. Some guy was doing a backflip and got hit with a rocket launcher, which is terrific.
Did you ever hear the episode of How Did This Get Made with the director and Patton Oswalt?
Yeah. I see her side, and it is funny. Sadly, she's not making a lot of other movies after she made Punisher Warzone, but hopefully she'll get another crack, and she'll make something good. Alright, can we talk about a different trailer? Where are we still? Oh, wait, that's just as bad. Alright, the next trailer that Andrew made us watch, I'm blaming Andrew for all of this, is a trailer called Bully.
I like how Damon has just taken over. Like, go.
It's a documentary about children being bullied. The adverse effect that it has on them and what steps their parents took to prevent children in the future from being bullied.
As I said, he's a geek. Some kids have told him he's worthless to go hang himself. And I think he got to the point where enough was enough.
Tonight, a tragic situation.
A Perkins boy, just 11 years old, believed to have been desperate enough to take his own life.
This is an awfully complicated and difficult issue.
Kids will be kids. Boys will be boys. They're just cruel at this age.
Hear what we get. Boring as shit.
So, okay. I brought up this trailer not because I wanted to talk about the movie, because yes, I agree with you, Damon, it looks boring as shit. What I wanted to talk about was something that was going on currently with this film, which was the promotion that the Weinsteins are doing. Apparently the film got an R rating by the MPAA for language or something. And the Weinsteins want to contest it, and they're going through all sorts of rubbish. But this we've seen before. They do this a lot with films, like Blue Valentine, which got a NR, which got a X-17.
You can appeal it. Right.
Yeah, appeal it. Yeah, sorry. An okay. X-18 or whatever it is in the States. Right. And they made a big furore about it in the press just to get notoriety to eventually give the edits that they knew they were going to do to get the R rating. And in addition, they've set out to do this thing where they want to now screen bully the film throughout high schools in the States to once again create more notoriety about the film and stuff. And I kind of wanted to talk about the idea of the Weinsteins continuously fucking with media to bring about these films that most of the time just don't seem that interesting. They just as if they have to create their own hype as to make the film any form of marketable. And I'm pretty sure you guys have stopped listening already.
No, I think that's their job, right? They are publishing this movie. They need to get as much hype as they can around it so that people will see it. If they don't do this, who was going to watch this movie if any of these stunts were proper? I certainly wasn't going to watch it. And I love movies. Now think about the average person who only wants to see Transformers on their screen. They are definitely not going to watch this movie.
Also, Andrew, how many times... You made it sound as if this is something that they do all the time. How many times have they actually done this?
I don't care.
because I haven't really... Sorry?
They also did it with the King's Speech recently, with the PG-13 edit that they re-released.
What did they do with the King's Speech?
I think it was R-rated.
It was R-rated because it had like three fucks in it in the film. And they eventually re-released it under a PG-13 rating with bleeps in those scenes. And they made a big furor over it because it was the best picture winner and all of those things. I can't recall anything else, but I'm pretty sure there are a lot of other stories because I guess I just haven't been following that kind of a thing too closely that long.
You're sure that there are other stories? Okay. Yes.
He's sure, Douglas.
I don't know.
Douglas, you sure?
Shut up.
Look, within the span of 2 years, I have carved out, three instances of the Weinsteins playing this trick? Imagine over the span of 20 years that they've been doing this.
So there's a bully. There's a King's Speech.
There's Blue Valentine.
Blue Valentine, okay.
Yeah, I did actually name three.
I didn't realize. I don't know. What's that?
Yes, I did actually name three.
Did it have more glorious bastards?
No, I don't think so.
Alright, so back to this trailer. The trailer looks boring. This movie seems boring. There's a line in the movie that had Douglas in stitches. Because a man said that he would die while fighting for...
No. What he said was that I will go to my grave until I make any changes. Right. So essentially what he's saying is...
He'll die until he makes any changes.
Yeah. How does that make any sense at all?
It makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. Right.
I'm going to kill myself and then you. That is what it means.
No, but until you make until, so when you make changes, I'll unkill myself.
I'll until I kill you. So simple.
But no, this trailer looks well. The first thing I wanted to address was the thing that Andrew was saying about how it's this big furor and you know how dare they put these things in schools. I actually don't have a problem, especially with this movie. This movie, although I agree 100%, this looks like crap, and I don't want to watch it. It is a fairly big issue with, you know, parents and children, and you know, it's not something to be scoffed at.
More but, so in the States than here in Germany.
No, it's everywhere.
It's a far bigger problem.
I think it's that we don't make as big a thing about it here.
But that may not be a good thing.
Yeah.
How many times has people gone into school shooting them up because they've been bullied in Jamaica? Let me see. I did it once.
Somebody shot up a school in Jamaica the other day.
There have been shootings in Jamaica in schools, but not directly related to bullying.
I didn't say anything about that.
Yes, but I have seen it. It is a slightly bigger problem.
There was one in the.
I know news outlets don't make it a priority to report on suicides, but just using, you know, the newscast as evidence, there's just not that many children who kill themselves or
fairly recently there was a big spurt in teenage suicides.
No, probably directly because of bullying.
Well, I don't know what it was about.
But
teen suicides though, like high school people.
They're silly. I was in high school.
But anyway, no, about 6 months ago there was a problem. But I don't have a problem with anybody telling me that, you know, oh, this is like you know, getting on a high horse and saying this is a movie you have to watch because it touches so many issues, because, well, in a sense it based on the topics that it's dealing with, it is touching certain issues that are hot topics for people. But in terms of whether I believe I'm going to be entertained, absolutely, and whether I feel that I really want to invest my time in this, I don't. I don't one bit.
Just tell them, stop being bitches. Stop getting bullied all the time. What is wrong with you?
Damien figured it out. Why can't you guys?
That's what I did. I just didn't get bullied all the time. I made it through high school.
Anyways, moving on to the next trailer.
Oh, I'm so glad I don't read comments. I need to put that on a shirt. Just stop being bullied. so good. What was the other trailer that we watched?
So the other trailer I wanted to talk about was Comic-Con Episode 4 of Fans Hope. The new documentary by Morgan Spurlock.
Welcome to Comic-Con!
Sit in my chair, let me make you look dead. Buckets off, everybody.
I'll never forget the first time I took a peek next to a stormtrooper and a Klingon. That could only happen at Comic-Con.
Okay, we're good.
All right, guys.
I was looking at my hotel room window and I saw three Ninja Turtles really impatiently checking their watches.
Where? Excuse me. You have to check that in.
In the mind of every comic book fiend, Comic-Con is just the answer to all your prayers. It's like heaven, in as much as, like they always tell you, when you go to heaven, everything you've ever lost is going to come back to you.
You want to get in already?
My wife's not too ecstatic about this whole toy collecting thing.
Let's go.
But I will not leave that con unless I have those figures.
The new movie brought to us by Joss. Holy shit, I just got cancelled, Whedon.
Did the Avengers just get cancelled, Douglas? Is that what happened?
Did it get cancelled?
I think it just did.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
That's sad. How does a blockbuster get cancelled while in post-production? Well,
Joss Whedon gets attached.
someone checked that spreadsheet and saw that Joss Whedon was still on the project and went, no. What's this? I thought we had an agreement, guys.
Alright, anyways. Anyways, this documentary. We've spoken briefly about certain fan-based films. One in particular we reviewed, Best Worst Movie, a while back. What did you guys think about the idea of this trailer talking about Comic-Con?
To answer that question, I'll answer another question. The question I'll answer is, what did I think of Best Worst Movie? That movie was awesome. I love that documentary. I enjoyed it very much.
So you like this movie?
To follow that up with what type of movie do I think I wouldn't like? This one.
Yep. Pretty accurate.
This trailer, to tell you the truth, if I had to choose, if I really had to choose and gamble and, you know, put my life on the line for one of these movies, this would probably be it.
Yes. But over the Raid?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, no, I'd take this over the Raid. Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was a Betty, man.
The trailer, I mean, what they lack for in or what they lack in goodness, they try to make up with, or make up for with celebrities, right? So I see a Kevin Smith, I see a man who laughs weirdly. What's his name?
Was that Zack Snyder?
No. Seth Rogen.
No, Eli Roth.
Eli Roth, right.
The one. Seth Rogen is, thank you, Andrew, the guy that I'm trying to remember. They've got Eli Roth, Morgan Spurlock, who is like a quarter of a star, so that counts somewhat.
The guy that made Spider-Man, which is a half of a quarter of a star. What's his name?
Oh, it's
Stan Lee, half of a quarter of a star. Come on.
What has he ever been in?
He's
every superhero movie for a clip.
He created all of Marvel.
He's just trying to rally you up. Take a deep breath. and then dream of kicking him in the ass. Okay?
He's not a star, guys.
This trailer.
Guys, can we...
This trailer, it just has that... That
pandering feel to it.
No, yes, it has a pandering feel, but even
worse.
Do you
like Comic-Con?
It has,
yes.
It has that name. Sort of Napoleon.
Dynamite.
No.
Ah, derailed.
It has Napoleon.
You enjoy this, don't you, Damien?
That sort of thing where, you know, I have to make up for my clear deficiencies, my obvious inadequacies with a sports car, or in this case, star power, and that's just not doing it for me.
I was willing to hate this trailer and, by extension, the movie, and then I realized that part of the reason I have no interest in this is because I have no interest in Comic-Con at all. I read comics. I still have no interest in going to Comic-Con. So I said to myself, Damien, what if it wasn't Comic-Con? What if it was something that you were interested in, like CES or Mobile World Congress or say a headphone convention, something like that? Would I have been more interested? And the answer still, sadly, is no. If there was a movie about documenting how people feel about any convention, I would not really be jumping to see that movie, because how good can it possibly be? They're excited to go to a convention and meet people like themselves and talk about shit that most of them can't talk about with anybody else. But that is what the internet is for. Or you don't need to go to a convention to do that anymore. There's message boards. And yes, while it would be fun to see people in person, I can't see how that will make a riveting movie experience. I just don't. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I doubt it very much. But
Damien be wrong?
I think twice every fortnight. I think that's what I narrowed it down to. Twice a fortnight. So I might be wrong, but it's unlikely. I think I've been wrong twice already for this. I think so.
So does that equal out to once every week?
No, just twice every fortnight.
Okay. I agree 100%.
Why?
I'm interested in the film because I find that I always enjoy Spurlock's movies, regardless of the contents. Look, he made a movie, he made a documentary about how McDonald's food is bad for you. And it was obvious, and I still enjoy watching it.
No, Andrew, I have to call you out for that comment. You like, did you just say that you generally you like all of his movies that he's done?
Yes.
Can you really say all if there have only been two so far?
It's been three. What's the third? Super Size Me.
Yeah.
There was
the greatest movie ever made, or whatever it was.
He hasn't.
He's done two. He's done the one where he ate and the one where he advertised.
To be fair, Wheel of Terror, Fukunaga. So we don't really have much to stand.
He actually
right?
does have two other films. One being Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden?
You saw that one?
I didn't. But okay. I'm proving a point to Douglas.
You're not proving a point to Douglas. You've only seen two. Douglas is right.
And the other one is his TV show, 30 Days, which I've seen a couple episodes of.
Well, but that's not a movie.
Yeah. Look. All right, so while Douglas' argument is flawed entirely, because we love Sinombre and Jane Eyre, and he's only made two movies, and there's a lot of other directors I can't think of.
He made Death of Two Sons.
I'm going to punch you in the face shortly.
That's cinematographer. Sorry.
Now look, you loving Spurlock is one thing. But this trailer, what does it tell you? You don't like the trailer. The trailer isn't promising. So you're using external factors, which, to be fair, we use all the time.
Yes.
But usually when we go to external factors, it's something awesome, like Fassbender and Christopher Nolan.
And Aronofsky.
And Aronofsky. Right. Right. We pick giant things that are usually beacons to which good movies are attracted. I don't think you can say that about Marcus Spurlock. I really don't. His movies aren't that awesome. None of them were. I enjoyed the greatest movie ever sold more than Super Size Me, but it wasn't in any way a terrific movie. I don't see how this movie is going to be good, Andrew. Honestly, I don't see where they're going to get anything interesting or engaging out of this movie. It's just going to be people who love this thing over here. And
that's when I will point back to best worst movie and say, how can it not be anything like, it looks like it could just be the same thing as that which we enjoyed.
Because the movie that they were mocking was terrific. That is why. If Best Worst Movie was about a lesser movie, right? Then it wouldn't have been as funny. It's because of the subject matter why Best Worst Movie is great. Right? If they tried to do that with pretty much any other movie, it would have fallen flat on its face. But maybe you're right, Andrew. Maybe. I don't know. But you didn't like the trailer either, which... I don't understand why you... If none of us have anything good to say about it except Andrew liked Spurlock, so maybe. alright. So three... There you go. Three terrible... Terrible...
One awesome trailer.
Andrew liked Spade. Saddens me to no end. There's two other very bad trailers. Andrew asked us to review The Interrupters, a documentary about something.
The Violence Interrupters had one goal in mind, to save a life. And we need people to step up to this table and go over and beyond.
Man, we got over 500 years of prison time at this table. That's a lot of wisdom. If I
fall short. Half of my life, I was in prison. That's why I do what I do now. I think I just stay busy, just try to forget about some of the things that I've done. If your
expectations. I used to be in jails, kicking off rats and just gangbanging.
Let's just correct this. Let's just be a family. There's
always tomorrow. Amina Matthews' father was one of the biggest gang leaders in the history of Chicago.
So, Andrew, why don't you tell us about
a documentary about something?
Fair warning, I'm going to go last, as I think my views will be the most negative on this movie. So, Andrew, why did you love this movie?
Well, why do you assume I love this movie?
Why did you love it? You love this movie. Tell us how much you love this movie.
I love this movie enough to listen to you derail me and talk horribly about it. All right, the movie is about a year spent with a ceasefire, a group of individuals who are attempting to lower violence in Chicago by
an easier word.
My brain just destroyed itself. By working alongside gangs. What?
Sorry, by working alongside gangs. Continue, Andrew. Pay no attention.
I'm sorry, but you disturbed me by laughing at that as if I did something wrong. But yeah, by basically being in the middle of things whenever violence is about to happen, always being a part of the community and finding ways to peacefully resolve situations in such a way that it doesn't turn to gunfire or heavy injuries. And we basically end up following three main interrupters, as they like to call themselves. There's Amina, the person who, anyone who's been raving about this movie has been raving about the character of Amina, the strong female character. Mm-hmm. Who is
Muslim like Obama.
Yeah. Able to get in the middle of all of this situation and almost seem to never be affected by it. And everyone has their own background, which explains a lot of why they're able to get through this stuff. There's Kobe, former drug trafficker, who is also a part of the Interrupters, and Eddie, the Latino of the crew, I don't know how else to explain it, who is a big arts individual who is working with the schools. There are a few threads that are really focused on, even though it's over a span of a year, as to what each of these individuals are trying to accomplish, even though it's definitely not stated from the beginning as to, like, I want to get this done. It's definitely taken task by task, but there are a few main tasks that Steve James focuses on with these characters. With Amina, we have Capricia, the young substance abused individual who she's trying to mentor into being a part of ceasefire and trying to keep on the path. With Kobe, we have LaToya and her two sons, Kenneth and Bud, who are part of two rival gangs and are having issues in the family. Hate each other, yeah. And Eddie, who is working with the schools, as I said, through art to try and get the even younger to deal with their emotional trauma by the violence around them. And what I liked about this movie was that when you first look at it, it looks like it might be a modeling of a lot of things happening at once, in that you don't know where the movie is going with it. But when you take a closer look, you can see how Steve James is trying really hard to find a way to cohesively show the true effect of the level of violence that's happening in Chicago. And maybe for us, coming from Jamaica, where violence is like just down the road every day, we have like the highest per capita out of the world of murder, correct?
Sure.
Okay. So, like, I remember a couple years ago when it was a big thing all over the news as to the murder rate that was going on in Chicago. And I guess Steve James just immediately picked up his camera and said, I have to be out there. And I always find documentaries like this really interesting, because these guys, they work day to day. They don't know whether they're going to find anything interesting of note to put in the movie, other than they have to get up and they have to be where this is happening. From scenes where Amina is walking down the street and lecturing a group of people about how they need to care better about the children around. They can't just have children around them. And of course, you have that slightly hilarious moment. I remember Damien making a joke when I made you guys watch a trailer of her saying obituary. I just sit there amazed at the fact that someone can put together a film which actually says a lot about the state of that community. At that point in time, I'm not going to say that this movie is pitch perfect, because it isn't. It has a lot of problems, and unless you're willing to spend a lot of time delving into and paying very close attention to the content that's given to you, you're going to find yourself lost for around 90% of the movie, other than, guess what, it's violent outside. I particularly enjoyed following Kobe and his story of how he tried to get the family, the family of LaToya, Bud, and Kenneth together again. And even the moments when he had with his friend, I think his name was Flamo, they called him, who had issues with the fact that someone had gotten the police to come in and arrest his mother and stuff. The movie, it puts information out there that even if you had just seen the news headline, it's worth delving into all of the extra information it gives you, especially about this effort that the people are putting forward to try and quell the violence. Because throughout society, violence has always been an issue, and it'll always continue to be an issue. But the answer is, how do we try and lower the problem? And I actually believe that this is a very viable solution to that problem. And now I will open the floors to Douglas and Damien telling me how I am wrong and the movie is crap. Go. Right.
So Douglas has to say about this movie. Why is that, Douglas? Douglas?
That is because
You agree with him.
This movie on principle.
What principle is that?
The principle that I've got better things to do with my time.
It isn't a thump without Douglas not watching the movie.
That is good. Holy shit. That's better than I thought he was going to be.
What
a ridiculous, ridiculous person. and a dreadful lie. So Douglas was busy doing God knows what.
So yeah, see,
and then I'll watch it.
So I'll just default Douglas to he loved the movie, and we'll move on.
He agrees with you. Right. I did not like this movie. I did not like the trailer when it came out. I did not like it when Andrew decided to force me to watch this movie, as my emails will show you. And that is because of a very simple reason. They make movies, documentaries like this, every now and again. When they go to our inner city and they show all the violence, and then they show how this one thing here is affecting the community in a positive way. And inevitably they have some scientist or some teacher or somebody come out and say, make some broad statement about why violence is the way it is. Of course, they do all of these things in this movie. Some guy came out and he said, the violence is a learned behavior, and it is not their fault, which is the most ridiculous notion in the world, that people kill other people and it's no one's fault. And how people talking out their problems is going to be helpful in this situation, which I'm sure if we look at the numbers will counter that argument 100%. You talking to people who are going to shoot other people might help today, but they're going to end up shooting other people in the long run. But you don't have to take my word for it. I live in Jamaica, and you can take the stats. You can use the stats as evidence to my argument. It has been shown all over the world that the higher the level of education, the lower the level of violence. It is, that makes sense, because if you act in a rational manner, i.e. have sense, you don't go around shooting people in the face over nonsense. It just it correlates. It's a very simple correlation. Unless, of course, you bring religion in the mix. And that is something entirely different. Religion, I'm not even going to touch religion. The movie tries to show you that, you know, these people are stuck in a cycle, and, you know, it's bad, but if they only sit down and talk, things will be better, which is ridiculous. I grew up in a terrible, terrible place, and my mother sent me to school, and she didn't do any of the things these people did, despite being in a similar situation. She decided to work hard and send her children to school, and when we stepped out of line, she put us back in line. And when the place got too dangerous, this is the key point that I make whenever I see any of these movies. If you live somewhere and gangs are taking over, you have two choices. You can stay and hope for the best, which these people have done, and it's worked out swimmingly. Or you can move, which these people refuse to do, on grounds that they are super gangster. Oh my God, they're so gangster. Right? You can't talk to them. They're so gangster. And so they stay put, because eventually their gangsterness will prove itself and they'll be super gangster.
Can you please stop saying gangster?
And all their problems will be solved. This movie, the premise is wrong. You cannot talk your way into an amicable solution. Education is the only way to get people out of this cycle. And if people are going to continue to use being gangster as an excuse for stupid actions, then I cannot feel sorry for them. And I cannot feel sorry for people who have led that life, right? Gone to prison, and then realize that, oh yeah, maybe we should stop doing this. And then they turn around their lives and expect me to look at them and go, well, you know, at least there's someone in the community that's trying to help. No, you don't get a free pass. You live that terrible life, and now you're decided to find religion, as in the case of what's her name, and tell everybody else in the community how to live. I don't see, there's nothing special about anything that they're doing in this movie. There's nothing special about the movie making. As Andrew said, it's a collection of scenes. It literally feels like he went out there and hoped for the best and then cobbled together this film. And white people who have never lived in a ghetto scenario have looked at this movie and go, this is terrific. I'm so glad that people like this actually exist in the world. And also I thought Adam about this. I have no sympathy for the people that live there. No sympathy, because if you don't want to, then you can move, of course. I have no sympathy for the interrupters themselves, because they were all criminals. And now they've decided to turn around their lives after their life of crime failed to do what they thought it was going to do. Seen that many times and it's not impressive. And the movie, if you take out those two things, is a boring documentary. There's nothing. The director definitely doesn't try to do anything special with the documentary style or anything like that. And so I was left with 2 hours. This movie is 2 hours, so another negative. Didn't need to take that long to say that people talking to people will help lower violence, which it doesn't. You sit there for 2 hours, you say, okay, well, these people talk to gangsters, and the gangsters decide then not to be gangster anymore. And then the movie ends. There's no big wrap-up. They don't try to make any statement. Anything like that, which people have praised in reviews. They're like, oh, this movie doesn't take a side. It just shows how people live and that these people are trying to help. But I think that is very cowardly. If you wanted to make a documentary like this, you just should go out and go, look, these people are fucking stupid. All right? They shoot themselves over $5. Right, and all sorts of other nonsense, because they have to prove who is most gangster. Now everybody with sense will can look at this and go, this is stupid. What I'm planning to do with this documentary is show how these people over here that used to be idiots are trying to help these other people and failing miserably to do so. But he didn't. He kept out of the way and allowed me to watch 2 hours of dross, essentially. I do not like this movie. I do not like movies like this. That made them every now and again. Wasn't looking forward to this movie. This movie changes nothing. This movie doesn't teach me anything. It doesn't show me anything. I don't know what you saw. Every time they made these movies, it gets a lot of acclaim because something or other, but it's not showing anybody anything that isn't readily apparent. When you were in Jamaica, in your neighborhood, the crime rate wasn't high. Why was that? Was it because people were constantly on the street stopping people from shooting other people? No, Andrew, it was not. The crime rate on Reddles Road, where I used to live, was very high, and my mother saw that and she took her children out of that situation. And guess what? The crime rate on Reddles Road is still high. Do you know how high the education rate is in those areas where the crime rate is the highest? Pretty low, right? No, whose fault is it that it is low? It's in America, people will say, well, you know, there's it's institutionalized, you know, white people keeping down black people. All sorts of a litany of excuses. Jamaica sadly does not have any of those excuses. I think you and Douglas are the only two white people left in Jamaica, so it's not you guys. Pretty sure of that. And the government pays for education, so, so it's not that either. Why are these people so hell-bent on being gangster that they'll kill everybody around them and make stupid idiots out of themselves and, by extension, the people in the surrounding areas? Why do they do any of that? I don't know. Because you're stupid.
All right, so...
I don't understand.
There is definitely a correlation between education and violence.
There's a giant correlation.
Yeah, we're not...
What I'm saying, I've seen documentaries like this where they say, you know, getting children into extracurricular programs helps lower the violence. Getting children and parents to come out to this thing where they do... They've done laws of violence in these communities and what. And every now and again, I see a documentary like that that points to something specific and says, well, this helps. But they're ignoring the glaring thing that would help everybody, right? These people need to stop clinging onto this notion of being the most gangster, right? Pick up a damn book. Stop being stupid. It's not that hard. It really is a very simple problem to eliminate. They don't want to eliminate it because I guess they find it easier to live like that. I don't know. And I don't care. I don't want to know. That is the second part too. I don't want to see these documentaries talk to these people who clearly have no interest in changing. They said that they wanted to change. But all of them still find it okay that they're some gangs and they say ridiculous shit like, you have to do what you have to do because, you know, if this and this and this, then there's no other option. But there's always an option. I've seen documentaries where prostitutes come out and say, you know, tricking is the only way that they can make money, which is the most ridiculous thing anybody can say. You don't have to prostitute yourself to make money. Right? That their logic doesn't make any sense, and the people who are talking to them don't step in and go, nothing that you've said makes sense, right? I don't know why that is, but that is what needs to happen. But no one does it. And so until they make that documentary where someone go, I mean, the person would obviously be shot by the end of the movie, but until they make something like that where someone goes in, like a Martin Luther King type, and go, you dumb mother, you need to stop the shit. Right? You're being stupid. They shoot him and then the movie ends. I don't know. That's the only one I want to see. I've seen it time and again. And this movie does nothing special. All right. Let me put it another way for you. Let me take it out of this book. Say you had a boxer, right? And this boxer was very good at boxing.
Please don't describe Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson.
No, I'm not describing mine. I'm describing Christian Bale. He goes to prison or falls into drugs, and then he comes back, right, having all the knowledge of boxing, and decides to train a new set of people, right? That is essentially the formula for fighter and for Warrior, all of
Rocky Five.
Right. Now that formula is the same for these documentaries. You have someone who goes in. Right. So if you've seen more than one of these, you get jaded really quickly. And you see the glaring flaws that are in all of them. And so you're just not impressed. I was not impressed. And I knew it. And I should have just not watched the movie like Douglas. But I didn't. I was stupid and I watched it. And now I sound bitter and mean and angry. And that's because I'm bitter, mean and angry.
All right, so one question I want to ask you, and I'm not asking you to change your opinion or your feelings on the real side of the story, right? But as I was saying, there's definitely a correlation between education and violence. Mm-hmm. But admitting the fact that these groups of individuals don't have education currently, isn't opening up the dialogue some form of adding education to their life? It's not the traditional sense of it, but doesn't it at least give the opportunity? And I'm not going to say that this is going to be a widespread solution at all. I'm pretty sure that the film gave us maybe around 5 or 6 cases where it seemed to actually help. They probably tried with 1,000 people throughout that year, but the film can only show us 5 or 6 cases because those are the ones with the positive results.
Right, and for everyone, a difference is made.
Right.
right?
No.
Fuck. Sure, I guess you can look at it as education if you want to. But why wasn't that more specific? That's what they're trying to do. And that is in some way what they're trying to do. Why don't they make that more explicit? Why do they pretend that this kind of behavior is something that rational people do? And this is the only way to get through to them, that it's something institutionalized, it's ingrained into these people. They're brought up to believe this thing, and so they have to continue living this life. That is preposterous. No one has to continue doing anything. I was brought up believing a whole lot of things, and I don't believe any of them anymore. The problem I'm having with all these movies is that the people that they're trying to get through to keep using the fact that they live in this harsh environment as an excuse. And the people who are trying to help accept that as an excuse. And then they try to re-educate them or change their way of thinking or introduce them to this thing that will keep them preoccupied instead of them standing on corners and shooting other people and all these other things. And I mean, okay, so you do that and then what? You say you help these people and you help these people, but the crime rate is still high. Yes, every helping hand, you know, will make it better eventually, so you've been taught, but that is, it doesn't work that way. The numbers prove that. We've had, every year there's a prayer vigil or some madness where all the churches come together and they walk around downtown and hold up traffic for hours, praying for Jamaica's soul and all sort of nonsense. And then they go into the cities and they talk to the kids. Oh Lord, the kids. What about the kids? And then at the end of the year, you see the figures and you go, why are you guys holding up traffic and wasting my time? Don't you see the numbers? And it's a fool's errand. They do it so that they can make themselves feel better about the horrible life that they used to live. That's all I see. They used to live this life and it didn't work out. They aren't dead. So now they're trying to change other people, which is good, I guess, but I don't want to say that.
Understood.
I'm glad that you like it. Hopefully you'll be one of those interrupters soon and very soon. I can walk past and laugh at you.
You want me to get shot, don't you? That's all you want.
No,
right?
They're not going to shoot you, people. You're not threatening. You're not gangster enough to be shot, son. You need to be gangster. So, Andrew, alright. I lived on Reddit's roots for so long, and there was a lot of people who used to say to me, you know, that I'm not, and I'm saying this with quotations, gangster enough. Right? And you laugh in their faces because they're retarded.
Like they literally said that to you. You're not gangster enough, as in what context? To be in this road or be...
Look, I've been playing football and have people laugh at me and tease me because I went to Campion, right? And I not gangster, I don't bust gun, and people can diss me and get away with it. I've had people say that to me. Now, if it were some of the people in this film, they'd have shot the other set by now. That is ridiculous, Andrew. It doesn't make sense.
Right? Reminds me of George's. All of the stupid people.
Right. So that is, right. You've seen it, Andrew. Right? Do you think talking to those people going to help? You think you're going to be a piece of shit your entire life and then one person going to talk to you and you're going to be like, oh, you know, I've never looked at it like that. Maybe this person is right. Maybe I shouldn't try to be the most gangster person on earth. Thank you, lady, Muslim lady, for talking to me. I was going down this road, but this is clearly the wrong road. Do you think that happens? Do you? I've never seen it happen. Father Holong was preaching shit for years But he him walk up and down like a crazy person. Crime rate was still high.
All right. I'm going to take a really big stretch right now, but right. I'm going to try anyways. So you're saying the idea of the transformed individual from whatever to what he is now is wrong in real life, but when we watch movies like one that you referenced earlier today, The Man from Nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? That's okay.
Andrew.
I'm good. As I said, I'm taking a stretch.
Fine. A ridiculous stretch, but let me go. I'm not saying that people cannot change, Andrew. That is not what I'm trying to say. What I'm annoyed with is how effective these documentaries make these initiatives seem. I'm not saying that they don't work or they don't help people. I'm saying that these documentaries make it seem, as you pointed out yourself, they probably spoke to thousands of people and they ended up showing five stories, and they chose those five stories specifically for a reason, right? That is my issue with these movies. They make it seem like, oh yes, this is a viable option to fixing this catastrophic problem. All we need to do is sit down and have a word with these nice people who are doing these terrible things. Which is ridiculous. Right? Or we need to have a football program for these children. Or some kind of music class. Or some white person to come in and help them. All these ridiculous notions that doesn't happen in reality. Now, I love watching movies because they're fake. And they're fun to watch. I wish the world was like that. I wish I could go into a community and be like Clint Eastwood, shoot the three baddest people, and everybody lives in peace and happiness. But I'm sure you see where there's a lot of issues with doing things that way. Right? They need to stop making these movies until someone finds something that is effective in holistically solving the problem. Right? Not just one and two people at a time. It doesn't help shit. Alright? It doesn't. And people who think it does live in a fantasy land that I'd love to visit sometime. Here in reality, the earth that I live in, it doesn't work. Right? So these people need to do one or two things. They need to stop being gangster or move. Move from out of these areas if you're not gangster enough to live there and you don't want people shooting your children and yourself. The argument has someone has said to me before, because I remember having an argument like this back in Ewing. There's people who can't afford to not live in Mountain View. Right? Which to me sounds like the same thing as you have to prostitute yourself to make money. That is ridiculous. Of course, you won't have all the things you had in Mountain View or in Tivoli or wherever you live. But if your option is have my son be ingrained into this gang and have my daughter be a prostitute for this drug dealer or crime boss or garrison leader, or move, I really don't see much of a decision to be made. You move. That is what a normal person with a functioning brain would do, but these people refuse. They refuse to do it. And I am supposed to feel sorry for them, one, and then be glad when someone goes in and talks to them. And I am neither of those things. So no, not impressed by this movie or any other movie like this.
Okay. And on that note, I guess we can say goodnight. Yes. That was the Unnamed Podcast. I guess if you listen to Damien and you agree with him on the topic, don't watch The Interrupters. If you listen to watch everyone else...
Watch Dear Zachary instead.
Totally watch Dear Zachary.
That I was in love with. Because of stupid decision.
Anyways, thanks for listening and good night.
If I fall short, if I don't make the grade, if your expectations aren't met in me today, there's always tomorrow, or tomorrow night, hanging there, baby. Sooner or later, I know I'll get it right. Please don't give up on me. Oh, please don't give up on me. I know it's late, late in the game.